It's good to be with you this morning. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the way that because of your Spirit, it has the power to transform our lives. And you use it to change us and to make us into the people that you desire for us to be. And so, God, we pray that in these moments together this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that out of these moments would come not just information, God, but transformation as you remake us into who you desire for us to be, so that more and more the life of Jesus would be evident in us, that he would be visible in who we are and in what we do. And so we pray this morning in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So I've been thinking about pastoral selection, and I've been thinking about how congregations find pastors, and that sort of got me thinking about a time in my life. I was an undergraduate student, and I had been ordained to ministry at a church, and so I thought, you know, I'm ordained now. It's probably time for me to start pastoring. I'll just call my religion department at the university where I am, and I'll put together a resume and put my resume out, and we'll see what happens. And so I did that. And one Saturday night, I got home from, you know, whatever college students do on Saturday night, right? And then there's a message on my answering machine inviting me to come and preach the next morning at this church. It was called Ireland Baptist Church. I had no idea where this church was. And this was, you know, long before Google or anything like that. But I kind of, you know, had a map, and I could find it on the map, and inviting me to come and be their preacher the next morning. And so I went out there, and so I this was a time in my life when the message also said, would you please bring somebody if you can to play piano? So this will give you a sense. Both that it wasn't a Mennonite church, right, and also kind of the size maybe of the congregation, but I had some friends who played piano and could lead worship and that sort of thing, and so I brought them out with me, and we went out to this church and had a worship service, and I preached a sermon, and sort of like our church, the platform wasn't very high; it was just a couple of steps off the ground, and so I've finished the service, and I've had the benediction and everything, and I'm still sort of standing down there on the platform, and so I look up, and everybody else looks up from praying, and people sort of make eye contact with one another, and the woman who had left the message for me on the machine, her name was Mrs. Turner, that was all I knew her as at that moment, she sort of looks around, and then she says, I move that we call Brother Mike, it is Mike, isn't it? To be our new pastor. And so that's one way to do pastor selection. That's not the way that you all have done it. That's not at all the process of prayer and discernment and careful reflection that has resulted in Randy Keener becoming your new pastor here. I am grateful for the work of prayer and discernment, all the hard work that the search team has put into connecting you all with Randy, and the powerful sense that I feel, and I know that you feel as well, of God's leadership in this, that God is bringing, with Randy's coming, a new chapter, a new day in the life of our congregation. And so I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking that there are some things that you can do for Randy. There are some things that you can do to help him succeed as your new pastor. And so I wanted to share some of those with you this morning. And there's some scriptures that we're going to be looking at together. The first thing that you can do for Randy is that you can pray for him. You can pray for him. And so take your Bibles this morning and in them find in the New Testament. We're just going to do some different passages here together this morning. Find the book of Ephesians. This is Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look particularly at verse 19. These aren't going to be on the PowerPoint, so you're going to get some practice finding different passages in your Bible It's always good for us to do that. So Paul's writing, and this is kind of the part at the end of the book where he seems to sort of, generally in his letters, he's kind of got a section there at the end where he's saying, oh, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. And he has some different instructions in this passage. And so in verse 18, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then he says, this is verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So, the first thing that you can do for Randy to help him be successful as your pastor is you can pray for him. I know that a lot of you are already doing that. If you're not, I really encourage you just to commit to do that on a daily basis. And just to make that part of your regular practice every day at a particular time. If you use one of those calendars that is connected to your phone or a computer or something like that, where you can set an alarm and it would just say, pray for Randy. And you could set that daily, and every time that comes up, you'll be reminded, it's time to pray for my pastor. It's time to pray for him. But to do that regularly, Paul here in this passage, he's specifically asking that the people there in Ephesus, that they would pray for him when he preaches. And that's something that you can do for Randy. You can pray for him as he prepares sermons. You can pray for him as he delivers them. You can pray for him in that whole process of figuring out what to preach about, how to connect the needs of the community and the needs of the congregation with the scriptures. You can pray for him in that process. There are other things that you can pray for Randy about. You can pray for his personal spiritual growth. One of the things that is true for all pastors is that even as we lead congregations on journeys of faithfulness to God and spiritual growth and development as Christians, that's something that we ourselves are also engaged in. So you can pray for Randy and his spiritual health and his spiritual growth. You can also pray just for his encouragement. One of the things that is a big deal to pastors is sort of the weather of the heart. And we all know that some seasons in our lives are better than others. But you can pray for Randy, pray for him to have a spirit of being encouraged, a spirit of being affirmed. You can pray for Randy specifically as he develops new relationships. He's going to be coming into both a local ministerium in this area that is our congregation and the other congregations in our geographic area. He's also going to be coming into the Mellinger district and the community of churches and the community of pastors that's involved in that. So you can pray for him as he develops those relationships. He's also going to be becoming a pastor in Lancaster Conference. And this is not an easy time to be a pastor in Lancaster Conference. And so I invite you to pray for him, particularly as he becomes a part of that community. And so there are all kinds of different places in his life. One of the things that you're experiencing with Randy that our congregation hasn't experienced for quite a while is you're going to have a pastor who's single. And so some of the temptation there is to say, this is great. How soon can we fix him up with somebody? That's not probably the best thing that you could do for your pastor. But there is a whole set of opportunities and challenges that come with being a single person who's a pastor. And so you can pray for him around those. The important thing is also that you would ask him what you can pray for him about. And as he gets to know you, it's going to be easier for him to share those things with you that he needs prayer about, to share those concerns with you that you can bring to God for him. So that's probably the most important thing that you can do for Randy is to pray for him and to do it on a daily basis. And not just to do it, but to let him know that you're doing it. Just to send him an email, leave him a voicemail, say something to him when you see him and say, you know, Pastor, I pray for you every day. Our family prays for you when we pray together. And that's going to be a powerful encouragement to Randy. That's going to be a powerful source of well-being for him and blessing for him. And that's something that you can do for him. Something else that you can do for Randy is that you can talk to him, not about him. You can talk to him, not about him. In our work together as a congregation, we have talked together about emotional triangles and how those work and how what happens a lot of times is when we have anxiety with another person, when we have conflict with another person, what comes very naturally to us is not to communicate directly with the person that we have the anxiety or the conflict with, but to bring somebody in to be that third point on that emotional triangle and to displace that anxiety onto them and say, let me tell you, you will not believe what he said to me. I can't believe how she acted. I'm startled that they would behave that way. And so we create these little emotional triangles, and they're not ever helpful. They're not ever useful because what they do is they prevent us from communicating clearly with each other, and they prevent us from resolving those anxieties and those conflicts like we need to. Look in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. And this is a passage that particularly as Anabaptists, as those who are committed to peace and to reconciliation and to justice rather than to hostility and to violence, should be very familiar to us. In verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and he says this: if a brother or sister sins, go and point out the fault just between the two of them. If they listen to you, you have won them over. And so what Jesus is saying here is he's saying the most important thing that we can do is that we can communicate directly. Now, I promise you that in the time that Randy is your pastor, there will be anxiety and there will be conflict. You can't have a relationship with another human being of any significance or of any duration without there being anxiety and conflict in that relationship. It's just how we are as people. And it's not a bad thing in and of itself. You can look at your own life and you can say, who are the important people in my life? And you can look at the history that you have with them and you realize that over time, conflicts that you've had with them have helped you develop a better relationship. Think about it with your parents or with your children. It's in those moments of conflict that you clarify what's important and you're able to reaffirm your commitment to each other. It's the same way in a marriage. That's how marriages grow, is through that process of having conflicts and then resolving them. You can think about that in terms of friendships that you have, in terms of relationships with coworkers that you have. It's in that crucible of conflict, and it's through the conversations that happen to resolve those conflicts that growth happens. That's going to be the case as well in your relationship with Randy as your pastor. And so one of the best things that you can do for him is in those moments, rather than displacing that anxiety by triangling somebody else in and saying, boy, you can't imagine, I couldn't believe that the pastor did that. I mean, what was he thinking? Rather than doing that, pick up the telephone, talk to Randy. Say, this is something that I don't understand. This is something that I'm concerned about. This is something you said that I didn't agree with. Communicate directly. Communicate face-to-face. And through that direct communication, that's how the relationship grows. And that's how things that are sources of conflict get resolved. And so that's critically important that each of you make a commitment and that you as a congregation make a collective commitment to say, we're going to talk to our pastor, not about him. It's one of, as a pastor, it's one of the most disheartening things that can happen is when you find yourself in a situation where you, and here's the thing, we all know this, that when we talk about people, it gets to them somehow. They find out. And that's incredibly discouraging to a pastor, because you're always thinking, why didn't the person just come to me? Why wouldn't they just communicate with me about that? What happened that the relationship broke down there? So make a commitment now to say, whenever I'm confused about something, whenever I'm uncertain about something, whenever I disagree, I'm going to communicate directly with Randy, and I'm going to figure out, we're going to figure out together what's going on there. Here's another commitment that you can make in that regard as well. Say, I'm not going to be the third point on a triangle. You know, I'm not going to enable that. I'm not going to facilitate that. I'm not going to help that happen. And so if somebody comes to you and they say, look, I just need to talk to you about the pastor because I am just so frustrated with what he's doing, your response should be, let's go to Randy together. I'll even go with you if for some reason you feel uncomfortable. But let's go communicate with him directly about that, because I know that that's what's going to be best. I know that that's what's going to be most helpful. So one of the best things that you can do for Randy as he begins his ministry with you is for you to make a commitment to talk to him rather than about him. Now, there is a way that you're going to talk about your pastor that can be tremendously helpful with him. You are the keepers of his reputation in the community and of the esteem that the community is going to have for him. And so one of the things that church people like to do when they get together is to talk about their pastors. Am I right about this? And so I want you to make the commitment right now to say, you know, when we get to, when I'm talking with friends, when I'm talking with neighbors or family members, and I have learned in the time that I've lived here, Lancaster County is a really small place. I mean, there are a lot of people who live here, right? But it's a small place, and particularly the Mennonite world within Lancaster County is a really small place. And so make a commitment today that when you talk about Randy to other people, that you are going to say just the absolute best things that you can about him, because you want esteem for him to grow. So every time that he does something and you just think, that's great, that was a great move, make sure that you communicate that to other people, because that's going to be how esteem for him grows in the community. And as esteem for him grows in the community, his effectiveness in ministry is going to grow as well. There are going to be opportunities for him to lead you as a pastor that will open up for him, because you are saying good things about him. You are sending out a good report about him. So one of the other things that you can do for Randy that's going to help his ministry immeasurably is for you to say yes to him. For you to say yes to him. Pretty much one of the huge staples of being a pastor is that you are inviting people to participate in a vision for ministry. You're inviting people to participate in a vision for how the kingdom of God can grow in and through a congregation. And so just on a day-to-day basis, what that involves a lot of times is you're asking people to do things. You're inviting people to take a hold of a part of a vision and to make that happen by their effort, by investing their time and their energy and their money into helping the kingdom grow in that way. You never ask somebody to do something that doesn't already have a lot going on in their lives. You never ask somebody to invest financially in something that doesn't already have stuff to do with their money. Okay, you don't ever ask somebody to participate in a way in which the kingdom could grow who has just been sitting around waiting for you to come to them and ask them to do something. Okay, so that's kind of the basic of that. But one way that you can bless Randy powerfully and that you can bless our congregation is when he comes to you and asks you, say yes. Okay? If it's at all possible, one of the scriptures that got drilled into me as I was growing up, it's in Proverbs, and it says, whatever your hand finds to do, that do with all your strength. So in other words, kind of whatever comes to you, do it. But in Randy's setting, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. This is the book of Hebrews. And we're looking at chapter 13, the last chapter of the book, verse 17. And this is what it says. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." Let me read that again. "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." So what the writer is saying basically is, pastors are going to do what they need to do no matter what. But your responsiveness to Randy's ministry is going to make all the difference for him. It's going to make the difference for him on a daily basis of waking up and saying, "Oh boy, here we go, another day." Or saying, "Oh boy, another day at Whitmer Heights. Another day to work with these people who are with me dreaming dreams of the kingdom and being involved in how God is making God's kingdom grow in our community." And so you have the power, you have the ability to make Randy's ministry among you a source of deep joy to him. So that even when difficulties arise, even when things are hard, he's going to be sustained by that joy in ministry that comes to him because of your responsiveness to his ministry. And so because of that, cultivate a habit of saying yes, of being confident in his leadership, of being trusting. And so because of that, you're going to be able to say yes, and your willingness to partner with him in ministry is going to empower him and is going to bless him and is going to make his ministry among you fruitful. So that's a gift that you can give to Randy. That's something that you can do to help him succeed, is to say yes to him. Now, the last thing that I want to leave you with this morning is something that makes a huge difference in the life of a pastor. And that's that I want you to make a commitment to care for Randy beyond his function. I want you to make a commitment to care for Randy beyond his function. And by that I mean that your concern for him, that your investment in him, isn't just how is he doing as our pastor? You know, how is he doing as the leader of our congregation? How is he doing as the one who helps us to engage with God's vision for us, for our community, but to care for him as a person. And so, look with me in the scriptures at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to look in verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Paul's writing, and he says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain,' and workers deserve their wages." Now, I'm not saying Randy is an ox. But you all who have worked in farming settings, you know what it's like. That if you take care of your farm animals take care of you. But Paul is saying that what is your responsibility as a congregation is to care for Randy, not just as your pastor, not just as what he does for you, but for who he is And I want to tell you that you are really good at that. You have been really good to me in that way. You have been really good to me and Sue in that way. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you, and I want to invite you to commit to keep on doing that. So that when you talk to Randy, you're not just talking to him about functional things. You're not just talking to him about how things are going at church, but you're asking him questions about his own self-care. You're asking him questions about how he's doing. You know, are you getting the time away from your responsibilities as pastor that you need? Are all your needs being met? Do you have stuff that's going on in your life that's a stress, that's a concern? Asking him what you can pray for him about, and then following those things. Asking again, well, you mentioned last week, you mentioned yesterday this was going on with your life. What's going, you know, how is that progressing? How are you doing with that? We all know the difference between people who care about us for our function and people who care about us beyond our function. Because we have both kinds of people in our lives, right? But the people who make an incredible difference in our lives, the people that we gravitate toward, those are the ones who communicate to us that I care about you beyond what you do. You're more significant than just your job description. You're more important than just what's on your business card. And so I challenge you to be people who care about Randy beyond his function, who love him, who care for him, who are invested in him beyond what he does for you as your pastor. And when you do that, not only is that an incredible gift to him, but it's going to be an incredible producer of fruitfulness and effectiveness in ministry for him, because the pastors who do best are the pastors who have congregations who care for them beyond their function. You have in your hands the ability to cause Randy to thrive as your pastor. God has given you that gift, and I challenge you just to seize that opportunity and to make the most of it. Pastors never forget the first congregation that they serve. Pastors never forget that first congregation that trusts them with that leadership opportunity. Randy is going to be doing a lot of new things with you. He's going to be finding his voice as a preacher. He's going to be preaching to you more than he's ever preached before. So you're going to get to help him get a better sense of what that means for him to grow into that role. He's coming to you as someone who's experienced in giving pastoral care through his work at the hospital, but he's going to learn with you what it means to do that more in a congregational setting. You're going to have the opportunity to be shaped by him, to be blessed by him, but you're also going to have the opportunity to shape and encourage him as a pastor. And so make the most of that opportunity. You're going to make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes. It's really important to be forgiving and gracious to each other about that. And I trust you to do that. These things that we've talked about this morning, I feel like in a sense I'm reminding you about them, because they're all things that you've done well, that I've seen you do well. And so I have incredible confidence in you as a congregation, that you're going to be an incredible community for Randy to minister to and within and through. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are ever faithful to provide leaders for your church. And God, thank you for your graciousness in bringing Randy to Whitmer Heights and bringing us all together for just this moment in time. And so God, we pray for Randy, and especially in these next few weeks as he transitions away from his work at the hospital and prepares to begin his responsibilities here at Whitmer Heights. And so we just pray your blessing and your anointing on him. And we ask you to give him, God, a long and a fruitful and an effective ministry here at Whitmer Heights that your kingdom would grow greatly through how you use him in this congregation. We pray for there to be great esteem and love for him in this congregation and in the larger community. And God, most of all, we trust you to do in us and to do through us the things that lift Jesus up. And we trust the truth of his word, that when he is lifted up, he draws everyone to himself. And so we pray, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.